Wisconsin's agricultural industry is a large part of our state's history, our culture, and economy. And the UW Extension recently carried out an extensive survey of agricultural employers and employees, workers. And I think the goal was to get a much more clear and detailed picture of the relationships between these two groups. Tricia Wagner, our guest, was a key member in this undertaking. She's a UW Extension Associate Professor and Agriculture Agent for Jackson County. And Tricia, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Great to have you with us.
Thanks.
How many people work on farms in Wisconsin?
Well, more than 76,000 people make their living each year as employees on Wisconsin farms.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many as probably 30 years ago, maybe?
It's a good question. I think that definitely the hiring of non-family labor members have
increased. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Why did UW Extension decide to do this kind of extensive survey on wages and benefits?
Okay, well, the educational background, skills background, wages and compensation that are paid to employee, all of that varies widely. And both farmers and employees want to be informed about these things. And so to assist them, UW Extension and the Center for Dairy Profitability here at the UW-Madison campus worked on this survey of farm employers and employees across the state of Wisconsin.
How was that survey carried out?
Well, what we did was we worked with county agents throughout the state to get this survey out to farmers who would be interested in the information. So we ended up submitting the survey to roughly 420 farms in 38 counties across the state. There was also an online option for farmers to take the survey. In total, 220 farmers from 38 counties completed the survey, and this took place from January to about mid-April of 2013.
Okay, so pretty good length of time. What types of questions did you ask?
We had basically three main areas that we wanted to get information about. One was on the characteristics of employees, their education level, how employees are recruited, what were some of the most important characteristics of a farm employee to the employer. Of course, a big section and very important and of interest to many farm employers is what types of wages and other kinds of compensation are being paid on farms across the state. And then, of course, we wanted to find out what are some of the biggest human resource challenges for Wisconsin farms. And in an effort to, of course, understand the concerns and problems that farmers are having out there with respect to human resource management, and hopefully bring those to the university and hopefully address those through education and information resources that can be developed here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tricia Wagner is our guest today, UW Extension Associate Professor and Agricultural Agent for Jackson County, talking with her today about a very extensive survey of wages and benefits for Wisconsin farm workers. And there's some, we haven't gotten into many of the findings yet, but we certainly will do that. And hope to hear from you. Are you a farm worker or employer? We'd love to hear your experiences. I hope you'll call in and share them, or you call in at 1-800-642-1234. You could email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. Or you could post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mehler Show, and you could post a question or a comment there. No matter the way, I hope you will contact us, and let's talk a little bit more about it. Whenever I've done a lot of survey work myself over the years as a professor, and you know, you're always concerned, all right, is the information we're getting, is it accurate? And were there ways to verify that the employers were what they were reporting was accurate? Or
I think one of the things that we want to look at is the response rate. And we felt really pleased that we had the response rate that we
did. That's a very good response rate.
Another thing that we were concerned about is that we had a good representation across the state. And so having good representation from 38 counties made us feel like we also had some really good data that was worthwhile and reporting back to people. And some of the information that we can go into a little bit here, you know, maybe we have it broken down for some of the questions by area of the state. For example, a big question people have is, you know, what are people getting paid in my area versus, you know, another part of the state? Because it does vary. So we made sure that when that data was being reported that we had significant responses to make sure that we had accurate responses. And we worked with the UW-River Falls Survey Center to make sure that we analyzed the data correctly and had sufficient information to be able to be making summaries.
Yeah. Well, and I expect, if you're interviewing 50 farmers about what they pay somebody to milk cows, there's going to be a range, but that range is probably going to be fairly, if it's fairly small, you can probably say, okay, you know, everybody here seems to be paying about $8.50 an hour to
milk. And we did find that there were significant differences based on the region of the state. And
we can
get into some of that if you'd like. So.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Tricia Wagner, our guest, join in with your questions and comments as we move along today at 800-642-1234. So different parts of the state had different results.
Yeah, and maybe I should just give a little bit of background about the characteristics of the farms that responded.
Yeah.
Because there were a number of questions just so we had an idea of who we were hearing from. 83% of the respondents had milking herd and dry cows as their main enterprise.
Okay.
Average dairy herd size was anywhere from 526 milking cows to as small as 30 cows. Sorry, the average was 526, and the largest herd had 5,600. So we really heard from a wide range of dairy farms. There were 11% of respondents that had a beef enterprise, and the average herd size there was 150 head. And there was a small percentage, 6%, that reported other livestock as their enterprise. We did not ask specifically for the farms to differentiate between native-born or immigrant workers, but we did ask, and 25% of the survey respondents reported that they did hire non-family immigrant employees. So it was a significant number to report there, too.
So 25% of around 70,000, isn't that about?
Roughly right? That.
Yeah, roughly that. That's quite a number.
There were, of the 220 employers that responded, they reported on 1,900 employees. So when we talk about these characteristics of the employees, there's about 2,000 employees that were reported on.
We have, you have some pretty interesting data, and why, I kind of wonder why sometimes, if you're milking cows in Jackson County and you're milking cows in Dane County, there's a significant difference between what you're paying, what somebody in Dane County is paying versus somebody in Jackson County.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of things to take into consideration, of course, when you decide where you're going to live. The cost of living is probably higher, in Dane County than Jackson as well, too. So there are those factors. But just to give you some statistics there. Well, first, when we asked this question, what is your average starting compensation? We divided that by what is considered to be an inexperienced worker and an experienced worker. And we found significant differences there. But in general, there were significant differences in starting compensation based on the region of the state. So there were significantly more wages paid in the East Central region of Wisconsin than, say, Northwest, North Central, and Southeast, and Southwest. So there were significant differences there. I can tell you the average starting compensation. Let's see. We have it divided by different jobs on the farm.
Yeah, I saw that. It's interesting. And there is quite a fairly significant difference in the per hour
Right.
What you're paying somebody per hour.
Right. So, for example, for both the inexperienced and experienced worker, the highest paid job on the farm was a herdsman. And if that was paid, if we figured out an hourly wage to compare that, we had $11.42 for an inexperienced herdsman and $14.31 per hour for an experienced herdsman. The lowest,
so $3 an hour more.
Yeah. Yeah, and we found that a significant proportion of herdsmen were paid by salary as well. 46% of herdsmen in Wisconsin are paid by salary, whereas the overall employees, 89% of them are paid hourly.
You know what? There's probably a lot of people residing in cities right now that are saying, what the heck is a herdsman? What does a herdsman do?
Yeah, well, if you talk to herdsmen, a lot of them are in charge of some of the overall operations of the herd. You know, it's not just milking. It'd be reproduction, vaccination, scheduling, hoof care maintenance. And then a lot of them would tell you that they are managing employees. They're managing people almost more than the cows. So they're managing all the other employees who do the milking, who actually do the, maybe it's a shot protocol for reproduction. So
it'd be kind of like a shop manager.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, a lot more responsibility, and I think it takes you know, more knowledge and skill to be competent in many areas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Did you check education levels? I can't remember.
Yeah.
There were.
It was interesting. Let's see. Our data found that the majority of the employees had a high school education level. 42% of them. And 22% of farm employees had less than high school, but another 22% had an unknown level of education. Mm. And so, you know, if you were to maybe draw some conclusions for that, they could be people who were immigrants and maybe didn't come with a comparable education, or maybe they just never got the opportunity to really find out if there were some communication barriers. There were about 13% that had some college, whether it be two-year or four-year degrees.
So there was, again, a pretty broad range of education.
Right. And, you know, I think a lot in many industries, education level is one of the maybe most important characteristics of an employee. But when we asked employers in the agricultural industry, you know, what are their most important attributes of an employee, they cited dependability. 32% was the highest. And then beyond that, motivated employees and easy to teach. Surprisingly, things like previous farm work experience was not in the top three. No.
We'll talk some more with Trish Wagner, UW Extension Associate Professor of Agriculture. She's an ag agent for Jackson County. We'll be back with her right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Wisconsin farms produce a lot of quality products, and whether it might be corn or soybeans or cranberries or dairy or beef or chickens or hogs, you know, they're really a source of pride for the people of our state. But, of course, none of those crops and products would be possible without the owners and the workers who do all the work. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. The UW Extension recently carried out an extensive survey of agricultural employers and workers, and they wanted to get a lot more clear and detailed picture of those businesses and the people who make them possible. Trisha Wagner was a key member of that undertaking. She's a UW Extension Associate Professor and Agriculture Agent for Jackson County. And Trisha, thanks again for spending time with us today. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And the survey was pretty much across the state and involved a lot of things just in the way of review. If people are just, for those who are just tuning in, we're looking at wages and personnel management kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. And feelings of both employers and employees.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's correct.
So lots of things to go to study there. We talked a little bit about compensation for herdsmen. Or what about sort of average starting across? There are a lot of different positions on a farm. You milk cows is a position, right?
Yeah, so the survey really did ask starting compensation for an inexperienced or experienced worker across many different jobs on the farm. The average overall, the job categories, starting compensation was $9.36 for an inexperienced worker and $11.44 per hour for an experienced worker.
Okay, so a couple bucks difference an hour.
Yeah, and other surveys have been done on that. And in 2010, the National Agriculture Statistics Service calculated an average across all Wisconsin farm workers, including dairy workers, and that was $11.24. Mm-hmm. Some other surveys, such as an Iowa State Extension and Survey, found that cash wages comprised of approximately 85% of the total compensation.
Hmm.
So if we, you know, extrapolate from that, maybe we could bump our survey average dollar per hour to maybe around $12. But one of the questions that we asked was, what other types of compensation or bonuses do farms offer? And 36% of farm employers do offer a bonus or an incentive plan to their employees. Of those, almost 60% base it on the somatic cell count of their dairy.
So to keep that low.
Yep. Others base it on factors such as herd health or other milk quality factors. And then some give like a holiday bonus, things like that. You know, looking at, you know, some of what is recommended for an incentive or a bonus plan, we recommend that employers tie it to a measurable amount of work that the employee actually has control over. So somatic cell count is a really good one to use.
Yeah.
Some things like, you know, calf death loss, keeping that
mortality low.
Mortality rate. One thing we kind of don't recommend is things like holiday bonuses, because if for whatever reason one year, let's say like 2009, the milk price, you know, tanks, then all of a sudden the farm isn't able to offer that, and it becomes something that's expected, it can work against you. So
something to think about. We had some emails and Facebook comments. By the way, you can join in with your own question. I'm interested. Are you a farm employer or a worker? Love to hear your experiences. Here at 1-800-642-1234. Roger on Facebook wondered, he said you saw a difference between parts of the states in terms of income and so forth, or what they're paying. But what about kinds of farm? For example, a confinement versus a pastured farm, or in terms of herd size, did you see a difference depending on?
Okay, well, a couple of things on that question. You know, the survey did ask, you know, what is your farm size? And there are many different ways to break down this data. So at this point, we haven't broken it down that way because we're still looking at this initially. And the other thing is there could be some differences there. But at any rate, no matter which end of the spectrum you find yourself on, you are still competing potentially for the same employee pool. And so it's important that you be aware what others are paying so that you can be competitive, whether it's within the dairy industry or, of course, whatever other industries are in your
region. Area, sure.
Yeah. Right.
And Roger was also wondering about health insurance benefits to full-time workers. Again, was there some health benefit, and did it make a difference, large versus small farms? You may not have that information.
Well, the question we did ask is what forms of compensation were provided in addition to monetary. So the number one compensation in addition to monetary that was reported was housing. 27% of respondents reported that they provided some type of housing to their employees. Another one, 22% reported free dairy products or meat. The third one that was reported was continuing education opportunities, so 16%. Healthcare insurance was the next one that was reported in 13%. And then a family health insurance plan was about 6%.
We have Jane in Sparta emailed and wondered if there's a difference in wages between seasonal workers and year-round workers. You know, what is there a gap there, or how much was that gap? Or
I think we didn't ask that question specifically. I think it's possible to find that information, though, because there have been surveys of specifically of seasonal workers. Not as many surveys like that in Wisconsin, but in California, you have a large population that do seasonal work. So I have looked at those surveys, and I'd suggest if she wanted to get in touch with her county agent, we could probably get her in touch with that information in the future.
Cool. Patty in Lake Mills, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Great show. I'm very, very excited to hear about farm employees and things like that, because they're always fighting to get good quality people on our farm. I'm a dairy producer from Lake Mills. We milk right around 400 cows, and we try to pay for our employees can have a good quality of life. Our milkers start in the $10 range, and they can go all the way up to $15. I want the herdsman that's making only $14. We started our herdsman at like $15. We think the herd person's job is very important because they're taking care of employees and the cows. And the cows, they need great care in order to make milk and things like that.
Patty, how do you recruit people?
We like word of mouth the best. We seem to find the best people through our other employees, but we do go on Craigslist and put ads out there. We do try the local papers or the farm papers, AgriView and the State Farmer. We try to use every avenue to get good quality people.
Yeah,
that's really great. I think you're right in line with most of our survey respondents. Actually, 85% of the survey respondents reported that they use word of mouth and in different ways, majority through current employees, and then others said through friends and neighbors, and then others through consultants. What's just noteworthy about that is I think that really sets apart the agricultural industry and probably specifically the dairy industry. It really sets them apart from most other industries.
Almost any other industry, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And we also offer like health insurance. We offer vacation time. We pay out vacations. And if they don't take it, we'll pay it out even though they didn't take it, because we don't like the idea that if you don't take it, you lose it. Personally, we love when our employees are on the farm. It makes my job a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you have milking. You got 400 cows.
Yeah. Yep.
You wouldn't want to be out there yourself, Patty.
A lot of times I am. I'm out there all the time because they're my babies. And I told my dad, I went to UW-Madison, and Larry, you had me as a student, and I told my dad, I'm never milking a cow again. I want to be done milking cows. And I was on the UW campus about 2 weeks, and I ended up missing cows so much that I got a job at the Dairy Cattle Center, and I was like, I'm going to have cows in my life.
Well, Patty, I think that you exemplify many of the characteristics that make an employee want to stay and work for you. One of the misconceptions that we found is that many employers think that the reason why an employee stays or leaves is simply based on how much they're being paid. And actually, surveys of employees find that pay is probably one of like fourth or fifth on a scale of 10 of most important, and just making sure that the wages are equitable within the industry and comparable to outside the industry is what is is one of the important things with regards to pay. But there's many other things
What's higher?
So some of the other things, surprisingly, it sounds maybe a little bit like fluff, but respectful treatment was listed many times in many employer surveys as being very important, the most important thing. And, things like that, such as what Patty mentioned, is just being aware of what is important to the employees. She mentioned the vacation time, but then also giving them the option to, if they don't want to take the vacation, they'd rather have the pay, make that available. Yeah. And things like that go a really long way for employees, because an employee, if they want to stay, they will stay. But an employee, if they have to stay, chances are they're going to stay until they find a job that they want, and then they're going to leave. So making sure you have that connection and finding the right person to begin with makes all the difference, which does take a little bit of work up front in finding out what's important to that employee. It sounds like Patty does a good job of
that. Yeah, Patty, you've got 12 workers?
Yeah, 12 employees.
Wow. And are there any females? And what's the breakdown, female to male?
There are 4 females, and they actually take care of our calves. Huh. We find that the women have more patience for calves, so they seem to do the best word of mouth. Like if somebody has to leave us, they'll find another one to replace them. So that works really well for us. The male employees, 6 of them milk, and then we have a herds person, and then 2 outside people, and then the feeder is also male.
That's interesting. How does that compare, Tricia, with how does what Patty has in the way of male-female, how would that compare across the state? Do we have that information yet?
We didn't ask specifically in the survey, you know, how many male or female employees. But I think Patty's experience there are probably pretty similar to what a lot of people experience. Mm-hmm. Could very well be. It's interesting, though. It'd be interesting to continue to maybe some further research.
That'd be another
research.
Good question to ask as to how many are out there. Somebody was also wondering, is there a pay gap, you know? My guess is probably more likely to be a pay gap just between the types of jobs a person's doing as opposed to a man taking care of the calves and a woman taking care of the calves, and the man might be getting more money. That's probably not as likely.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Patty, is that your experience?
Our calf girls make just as much as the milkers, so no, we pay. Every job on the farm is pretty important, and taking care of babies and milking the cows are 2 top priorities on the farm, and so they get paid really well. We need them to be here. We need them to be reliable. We need them to be able to see things. So they have a lot of responsibilities. So in general, we try to pay pretty fairly across the board.
Wow. Well, you sound like a great person to work for. If I ever get fired, I'm going to come look you up.
All right. Well, or when it's really cold out, then that's when we take more help.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. Have a good day, you guys.
Yeah,
thanks.
You as well. Now, see, she must have taken my radio class, my broadcast class, because you sounded pretty good on the air.
That's pretty neat.
Sounded pretty good on the air. Well, you can join in, too, by the way. If you have a question, the number is 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I'm really interested in the personnel. Well, we did talk a bit about personnel management, but, you know, the treating employees with respect, mm-hmm. probably kind of the sort of the number one deal.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that, you know, when we surveyed questions regarding the challenges of human resource management for our farms, by far the number one response in terms of challenges was communication on the farm, or communication barriers. 23% of respondents indicated that as their biggest challenge. Beyond that, we had hiring and recruiting being a big challenge, and then things like training and dealing with employee conflicts. But I think a lot of the basic human resource management techniques that are used across industries were found to be somewhat inconsistently utilized on our farms. Things such as, do you have standard operating procedures for your farm to go over with an employee when they start? 57% of the respondents said no. And so even though hiring outside labor is becoming more commonplace on Wisconsin farms, few are actually implementing the basic HRM practices that are recommended. You know, things like performing regular reviews or performance reviews with an employee. Over 50% weren't doing that at this time, even though evaluating employee performance is pretty basic practice of human resource management. Another suggestion, you know, is to have an employee handbook. 69% of Wisconsin farms that were in the survey said they did not have that. And those are some of the basic platforms of starting to have a good communication between your employees, laying down, you know, you're chalking the field for your employee. You're laying down what the expectations are, and not only for their job, but for their overall employment on the farm. And, you know, once you have those things outlined to begin with, it can help you avoid many conflicts with employees, conflicts between employees. You know, for example, Patty was just saying it's really cold out, and if somebody calls in sick, is it always, you know, one employee that has to then bear the extra work? And, you know, does that employee really appreciate that? If there was a policy that was outlined for when things like that happen beforehand and everybody was clear about that, that's some of the basic things that employers can do to make sure that they're demonstrated that they've thought about these issues prior and they've thought about how to handle these things. And that goes a long way for an employee to recognize the leadership of their employer and have respect for their employer.
And this, you know, all this, I assume, gives Extension a whole lot of ideas about what they, how we can, Extension can help farm employers and as a result, employees, or maybe both. I could see publications, I could see workshops, you know, taking the findings and saying, okay, well, they're not putting together, you know, an outline or a booklet on performance. Maybe we should be giving, putting one together or an outline together for people to that they
could
use.
Yeah, and I think it's good for farmers to know that a lot of this stuff you don't have to start from scratch recreating the wheel. You know, I think a lot of farmers are very busy. Farmers have to do so many jobs on the farm, from marketing to field work to milking cows, spreading manure. There's so many things, mechanics. And so to have to sit down and put together, you know, standard operating procedures for your entire business can seem like a daunting task. But, you know, they should know that a lot of these things, they are out there. There are templates, there are samples that can be adjusted for the specifics of your business. And start with something like that, and, you know, start with sections of it and work your way up and get, you know, there's lots of consultants that can help you with these things. So it doesn't have to be such a daunting task.
Well, and you have put together, I think one of the nice things is you have some reports that are available. I think we posted them up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We've got them posted, but you can also just stop by your county office probably, or just call the county office. They'll mail you one, I imagine.
Sure. Yep. If you're familiar with using the web, you can do a Google for UW Extension Farm Team, because that's the subgroup of agents that worked on this. And on that website, we have three fact sheets that cover these three main areas, employee characteristics, wages, compensation, and then challenges with human resource management. Three papers on that, and a presentation as well. But yeah, I think, you know, definitely we've been able to get some feedback from farms on what are the biggest challenges are, and we plan to hopefully address those through information resources, educational opportunities. So
that's how you plan to use the data. And I can see lots of uses from both employers and employees, as to, you know, we start talking about who's getting, you know, what are the pay ranges and for the various kinds of jobs and in what parts of the state and so forth. This could be a valuable tool for employers or employees.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. You're going to be analyzing some more. So I expect there'll be more to talk about down the road here. Tricia.
Indeed, sir. As long as you're interested.
Well, you can come back and see us anytime. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for your interest and for the interest of your listeners.
Tricia Wagner is a UW Extension Associate Professor and Agriculture Agent for Jackson County. And boy, it was a pleasure to talk with her. It was a lot of fun. And I learned a lot about, I learned a lot I didn't know, believe me, about employers and employees on farms. I hope you did as well. Tomorrow's Taking a Look, we've got our friends from the Bureau of Consumer Protection to talk with us about scams, dating scams even. Stay with us now, though. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.